This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Soccer fans, don't toss out your vuvuzelas in the trash just yet. There's plenty of World Cup action of sorts happening in Lowell right now. 20 amateur teams representing 20 nationalities faced each other in the first leg of the One Lowell World Cup last weekend. And by the end of this coming weekend, we'll have a new champion. The event, now in its fourth year, is a fundraiser for One Lowell, an immigrant advocacy group. Organizers thought, in a region as ethnically diverse as Lowell, why not use the world's most popular sport to bring communities together? As Radio Boston's Adam Ragusa found out, it's succeeding to some degree.
Soccer ignoramus that I am, I knew I was going to need a guide through this experience, so I made some friends in the parking lot.
Where are you guys coming from again?
Fitchburg.
Did you guys watch the actual World Cup?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Josh, Trey, and Kobe went to Fitchburg High together. College has scattered them, but for the moment, summer and soccer have reunited them.
We came to see Yao Dao play for Togo.
Is he from Togo?
He's Kobe's brother. Nah, he's from Ghana.
And so begins one of the more multicultural experiences I've had lately. We get our tickets and some empanadas before running into Victoria Fallberg, the director of One Lowell.
It's nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
So what are we doing here?
We're getting ready for the next round of games that start in 15 minutes.
Who's up?
I know that Colombia and USA are playing over there, and I don't remember who's playing over here. I got to look at the...
Togo.
Yeah.
It's Togo and Germany, right?
Okay, so the...
Hence the very strange mixture of music we're getting right now.
Hey, we play strange music all day.
I bet.
Yeah.
She's not kidding. 20 nationalities are represented in this tournament. Other matchups include Romania versus Cambodia, Uganda versus Honduras.
We got people from everywhere.
You have lots of countries playing. Are you really able to fill out those teams with people who are actually from those countries? Because this guy's brother is from Ghana, not from Togo, but he's playing for Togo right now.
The way that it works is that on the roster, 80% have to be from Togo.
Ah, okay.
And there are two people on the roster from Ghana. If there's more people from Ghana and they're down as Togo, then we got some cheating going on.
Ah, okay. All right, well, we're going to go watch some soccer.
Awesome.
Thank you for having us.
Attendance in the stands is modest, but spirited. There are even some vuvuzelas.
One more time. All right, thank you.
My new friends from Fitchburg settle right into the action.
Did you see number 11 try to go for a handball?
Shot!
Yo, Yao needed to be there.
Come on, right? Yao!
The setback is temporary. Pretty soon, their friend Yao slips a goal past a discouraged-looking German keeper.
Shot!
The Germans were a force in the big World Cup in South Africa, but in this little World Cup in Lowell, not so much.
So it goes up 1-0.
I talked to a Nigerian guy named Francis. There's plenty of Pan-African unity in the stands, thanks to the Togo team's success.
I hear that there are, like, three Ghanaians on it.
I can't tell. When I look there, I just see, you know, a whole group of people that just want to achieve one goal. You know, race doesn't matter. It really doesn't.
I guess that's the whole point of the tournament, isn't it?
That's the whole point of the tournament.
Yeah, that said, the Germany fans are sitting notably apart from the Togo fans.
I know. We separated. I don't know why, but it's not good. And look, that's another goal!
In a distant, windswept corner of the bleachers, a lone vuvuzela weeps.
Can I ask how we're feeling over here in the German stands?
We are feeling very good. We are winning.
They're not. What is it to at this point?
Don't ask.
Depends on how you count, yeah.
If you didn't catch that, he said, it depends how you count. Yes, that was a dig at the reffing. However unifying a force soccer may be, perhaps nothing divides people or nations like a disputed call.
It's Radio Boston's Adam Ragusa. Togo, by the way, crushed Germany 4-0, so you know this probably can't be the real World Cup. But they go on now to face Colombia and the USA on Saturday at the Crawley Stadium complex in Lowell. To see a complete schedule for this weekend's One Lowell World Cup, check out our website, wbur.org/Boston. Well, here now to talk about sports, as he does with us every Wednesday, is Only a Games host, Bill Littlefield. Hey there, Bill.
It's nice to be back. I had last Wednesday off.
And we really missed you, let me tell you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So a World Cup-style tournament up in Lowell. Now, while soccer is supposed to bring people together, I can't imagine anything possibly more nationalistic than the World Cup.
Well, except that at the end of those games, at least at the World Cup, players trade shirts. They throw their arms around each other. They show that they respect and admire the good play by players on the other side. You know, in a world so full of disputes and hatred, I'll take any symbol I can get of brotherhood.
So not a bad idea in Lowell to use soccer to bring folks together.
A very, very good idea. I'm for it.
Well, on to other sports news. Big news today.
It's big indeed. About as big as it gets.
It does. He posts up strong under the basket, I have to say. He's a Twitter megastar with 3 million followers, even has his own reality TV show. And he serenades Justin Bieber. May I introduce you to the newest Boston Celtic? That is indeed Shaquille O'Neal singing during a rehearsal at a Justin Bieber concert. So it looks like sports media sites are reporting that the 38-year-old Shaq may sign with the Celtics or is going to. But Bill, it makes me think that at 38, he might be a better halftime show than a player for the Celtics.
I think the reason he wants to come to the Celtics is because the only thing Shaquille has not done so far is be the world's largest leprechaun. And now he can dress all in green and get a funny hat with a little feather and carry a cane and be the world's largest leprechaun.
Well, but so on a little more serious note there, I mean, he is a big man, and we've heard that maybe it's the big man theory that's driving this, that Shaq is exactly the kind of player that the team lacked in the NBA Finals to go against the Lakers. You think that could have something to it?
Well, I'm sure it has something to do with it. Everywhere Shaquille O'Neal has gone through the latter third of his career, that's been the theory, that he would take up a lot of space and that he would take a lot of the brunt of the physical punishment from another team and free up other players to do the things necessary to actually put points on the board. Mm-hmm. And who knows? At his advanced age, he may be able to do that well enough for a year or so with the Celtics to make this look like a good move.
Well, you know, he was a little coy about whether or not he would come to the Celtics, and he was even on Jimmy Kimmel's show on Monday night. Here's Shaq kind of saying, maybe I will go to the Celts.
You know what, right now I'm on a 730-day program, which means I have 2 years left, so I'm going to try to sign with the right team. I want to, you know, end my career.
2 years left in your NBA career.
Yes, so I want to
I can't imagine you in a Celtics uniform, though. I just can't imagine it. Can you imagine it?
Celtics would be a good program.
Well, it would be a good program, but the two-year contract would be at $101.4 million annually. Bill, I wonder, I heard that if he couldn't find a team to sign with, the Shaq was actually going to just retire this year. So is having another senior citizen on the team a good thing for the Celtics?
In the world of sports today, you often find rent-a-player. And put a team together, try and hold your nucleus together, and then rent a player who is going to help make it just enough better so that they actually win something again. And I'm sure that if Shaquille O'Neal ends up here, then that is Danny Ainge's thinking.
Hmm. Well, on to the other big team in town, the Red Sox, of course. To some, it looks as if general manager Theo Epstein was not doing as much at the trading deadline to help the Sox boost their chances to make it to postseason. I mean, it looks like they're 6.5 games back right now. You agree?
Well, I think probably what Theo Epstein and others in the front office here in Boston are thinking is, you know what, we're into the beginning of August and there are two teams ahead of us both playing very well. And I know I've beaten on this particular gong before on this program, but nothing really has changed. Tampa is playing good baseball. The Yankees are playing very good baseball. The Red Sox may have just figured that it's not worth potentially trading away some of their future to get somebody who could help them out in the present if they aren't going to be able to catch one of those two teams anyway.
So it sounds like you don't think they are going to be able to catch them.
I don't see evidence that they're going to be able to catch them. This team is somewhat hexed. Every time somebody comes back, somebody else gets hurt. Latest guy to go on the injury list apparently is Kevin Youkilis, and that can't be good for
and
the
he
Red
may
Sox.
Be out for the entire rest
that's
of the season.
That's a possibility, and we don't have a verdict on that yet.
Okay, so if a postseason run isn't necessarily in the cards for the Sox this year, though one can always hope, what do you think the team needs to do to improve, in the following years?
I think they need to keep their thumbs and their ankles and their knees and their necks and their backs and their hips and all the rest of those bones that are connected to each other healthier than they've been able to do this year. If you looked at the Red Sox at the beginning of the year and you looked at the Red Sox in spring training, they appeared to be poised to contend for another championship. They had the pitching. Their defense looked like it was going to be okay. There are all sorts of reasons to be optimistic about them at the beginning of the season, but they've been decimated. All teams suffer injuries. That's been really a worse story for the Red Sox than for lots and lots of other teams.
Well, we can only hope for good health descending on the Fenway sooner rather than later. Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game and a regular on Radio Boston, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Magna.
And by the way, you can always hear Bill on Saturdays on WBUR at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Wednesdays here with us on Radio Boston. There's a much more after the break on pharmaceuticals and conflict of interest. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back. Now you gotta go. Get the damn ball and slam it to the hole. Mind crack a smile.